it's time to check in to see what the astrology might be in terms of 2020. We already know it's off the charts. It's not very predictable. But Moon Rabbit is our astrology authority right now. And she when she responded, she said, yeah, this is one I really want to get into. So hi there. Now, okay, when people call you Moon Rabbit, Linda, what are, for anybody who wants to make a connection with you and find out their own chart, what do we address you as?
If you Google astrology by Moon Rabbit, you'll get right to my website. So that's my kind of handle, Moon Rabbit.
Okay, perfect. All right, because
people aren't calling me by the name Moon, then they can find me also as Linda Zlotnick.
And we did this when I interviewed you before. The one really quirky aspect that you offer in terms of astrology, which might get someone's attention, is death charts.
That's right.
And okay, that might need a, before we frighten everybody.
It's not about predicting your death at all. It's actually a counseling tool for people who are bereaved. And so it really is focused on healing the people who are left behind and really helping the recovery process as people move through the loss of a loved one.
But going forward now, 2020 has been absolutely off the charts in terms of predictability. And even just getting ready for all of this the last couple of weeks for me, I've had issues with internet, with predictability, and the reliability, and just being able to count on a set schedule. That for the entire year has been really off the charts. So before we get into what's happening and what's coming up, what was the precursor that set this up for this year?
Yes, that's a really, really good thing to talk about. So Saturn and Pluto are the two, we would call them the two most difficult or almost the most shadowy planets that astrologers use. And Saturn has to do with limitations, and it embodies all of the rules and structures that we as a collective have created to keep us safe. And Pluto is kind of the destroyer and recreator. It's this planet that can be symbolized by the phoenix rising from the ashes. There's a destructive element, and then there's a regenerative element. And the two of them are conjunct for the first time since basically World War II. It was a little bit post-World War II. But astrologers have been talking about this, you know, cycle, which has to do with very, very kind of large disruptions in the status quo. And then just let me add that every 20 years, Jupiter and Saturn are conjunct, which is also happening in 2020. And that's a bit more kind of a routine or moderate kind of planetary combination. But the fact that they're overlapping has it indeed made this a time where we've seen the status quo, as we've known it, just, you know, indelibly disrupted.
Are certain charts, astrological charts, going to be more influenced by this, or is this pretty much a shift to chaos all across the board?
Well, okay, so this is what I think of as a collective cycle. So we're seeing, of course, that everybody is being affected by it, but it's been happening in the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th degree of the cardinal signs, which are Aries, Libra, Cancer, and Capricorn. So if people know their horoscopes and they have planets in those degrees of those signs, it's a more specific kind of burden for them than for other people who don't.
Okay, so if it's in your sun sign, your house, the sign of the would rule maybe personal relationships and personal financial dealings. Does that make sense?
Well, it would be kind of more individualized,
okay,
in a way, you know. But it's so yes, it would depend on your birthday, but you know, everything's excuse me, always moving up there in the heavens. And so it would affect different groupings of people really differently.
Okay. Now, also on the planet, is it more specific to certain countries?
That's a really good question. And obviously, we're seeing that it is in terms of COVID. But I don't know. Like, I have a chart for the U.S. and actually, there's some interesting things happening in our chart. But I haven't studied the other, like, major world powers. So okay. I can't really.
Okay. Well, then let's dive into the U.S. because I think right now that's where the focus is, good, bad, or indifferent. We're the hot spot.
We are. We are.
What is for the next, I guess, we're getting into the early fall. I guess start there and then go into the election time. And then after, you know, when we're looking into the beginning of 2021.
Okay, so let me make a statement about this Saturn-Pluto. And basically, I'm going to call it a triple conjunction because Jupiter and Saturn and Pluto are all very, very close to each other in Capricorn. And in fact, if there are any stargazers, if you look, you have a clear night and you look up in the sky, you'll see two really bright planets that are relatively close to each other. And right now we're able to see both Jupiter and Saturn up there in really close proximity in the heavens. So they're in Capricorn and they continue to travel together until the very, very end of December 2020, the beginning of January 2021. And then Saturn and Jupiter both move into Aquarius, which is the first time that they have been in that particular constellation for 200 years.
Wow.
So it's a really distinctive shift that happened this year. But one of the things that's been very interesting to me about the next few months, if we want to start with now, late August, and then into September,
okay,
and the rest of the calendar year, is the planet Mars. And Mars is the initiator. It's the activator. It's the make something happen kind of planet. And it's moved into its home sign of Aries. So Mars is very, very comfortable in terms of taking action in Aries. But on the 9th of September, it does a retrograde. So people who know a little bit about astrology know about Mercury being retrograde, and that's those periods of time where there's all kinds of communication snafus and technology snafus and just, disruption in terms of communication. Mm-hmm. So Mars, when it goes backwards, tends to kind of create roadblocks for people on their kind of action, I'm going to get this thing going and I'm going to have a fresh start. And I'm going to, just take really decisive, sometimes a bit impulsive action. So Mars is already in a stressful relationship with Saturn. And I compare that to living life with a foot to the floor on the accelerator and a foot to the floor on the brake. So you're kind of getting nowhere fast.
Yeah.
And you're burning out your engine.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mars turns retrograde in the middle of September, which even complicates things more. And the retrograde period lasts till the 14th of November, so through the election. And then Mars doesn't really completely leave Aries until the first week of January. So basically, for the rest of this year, we have this kind of foot on the accelerator, foot on the brake. And again, this is for those people that are born with planets in the late degrees of Aries, Libra, Cancer, and Capricorn, more specifically. But it's a kind of collective misstep, you could say, or complication of getting things done.
Well, it sounds like a burnout could be a real big factor, too, that you're just, chomping at the bit, wanting things to change ASAP, but there is nowhere to go.
That's right. And I think it's pretty emblematic of how they're describing pandemic burnout or pandemic apathy or, some of those phrases that we're hearing where you know, Mars, let's just do something. And especially in Aries, let's do something fun. And yet there's so many restrictions.
This is so intense on so many levels because the psychological impact on everyone, you know, kids, adults, is really putting us through the hoops and through the ringer because we're not used to dealing with these kinds of big and bold challenges that could be life impacting.
So Mars in Aries really just wants to have their way. And, you know, so this particular period of time, and we've been seeing this, of course, before July 1st when Mars went into Aries, but it's a very impatient and me-focused energy when Mars is in Aries. And so we're seeing people who are willing to fight for individual rights mm-hmm. because that's kind of part of the function of Mars. And then we have that in a conflictual relationship with the authority of Saturn, you know, and Saturn's in Capricorn, but there's this larger pattern of the authority that we've created being basically, you know, in a period of upheaval and destruction. Mm-hmm. So it's almost kind of like the people who are rebelling about the masks are fighting against a whole kind of larger search for freedom, you could say. But I think the Mars in Aries also applies to the people who are fighting to change the system, these different systems, whether it's white supremacy or lack of affordable housing or access to health care. So I recently wrote an article. I know that's what spurred you to have this conversation.
Yeah.
There's a little planetoid that's called Eris, E-R-I-S, that was only discovered in 2005. And so we don't know as much about it as we do about the planets that we've been utilizing for thousands of years. But what astrologers do is that we study the mythology and we translate that into usable, applicable kinds of understandings of what's going on. And Eris right now is aligning with this planet Mars that we've been talking about. And in mythology, they're brother and sister. So Mars is kind of your, you know, well-known warrior god. And then Eris was a warrior goddess. But in her mythology, she was spurned by the pantheon and became a fighter for all of the disenfranchised people, for the people who had been spurned or felt like they weren't given an equal shake. And so now this Mars is traveling with Eris, during this back and forth period, and it's really activating all this energy for people to take to the streets and, you know, really the disenfranchised people to have a voice.
Okay, so this is something we're not used to dealing with, this little Eris aspect?
Well, actually, I'm not as prepared about this as I would like to be, because Eris came to my attention back in... Oh, I think it was 2016 and 2017, because she was connecting with, maybe it was before that, but when Uranus went into Aries. Anyway, so she's been around stirring things up, but it was happening in other parts of the world. Mm-hmm. It wasn't happening. And so that's why she's kind of come more into the forefront of astrologers here in this country.
Okay.
But yes, we're less used to dealing with her.
Okay. Well, okay. So with that, though, it sounds like that's a masculine-feminine issue as well.
Yes. It can be looked at that way, certainly. And so the Me Too movement, some people believe, has had to do with Eris kind of coming more into the mainstream as well.
Well, but also the issues with pedophilia. I mean, this is all of a sudden... We haven't dealt with some of these headline topics in my memory, having been in news. This is a certainly off the charts year in terms of the things that we have been seeing in the headlines. the contrast with the Catholic Church having issues with the priests, the racism issue of trying to get everything squared away in terms of, are we giving people equal advantages, equal rights, equal treatment? And then the Me Too movement. I mean, my gosh, everything hit the fan, and it's hard to know where to start first. And then you've got the election issues on top of that with all the political things that are their hot button issues. So, and by saying it's a male female, it's like there have been so many conversations about this is the year of the feminine, you know, empowerment. And I don't know if that is about that as much as about the kinds of attributes that we ascribe to men and women. Men are powerful, women are compassionate. And I think there's a reverse role going in that they're saying that some women are powerful and some men are compassionate. Maybe let's not just assign that to one sex and say those are aspects of personalities that we respect and would like that would transcend those physical boundaries of male and female. Is that a good way to put it?
Well, I think that we need to be moving in that direction. So, because it's always occurred to me that it was a misidentification, you know, to put people in boxes. And certainly if we had, as we're moving, through this election, we're seeing more women taking public office. Mm-hmm. And when you look around the world to see who's been handling this pandemic really well, it stands out that the women leaders have done a really remarkable job in different countries. So, it'd be nice if we could catch up to them here, wouldn't it?
Well, that might not be in our cards in the near future. However, at least having the awareness that there might be different ways that would be more productive in terms of tackling this on a larger scale and not just looking at the bottom line dollar sign, but the aspect of how communities respond when everyone can be participating in this and not just a certain element. Because, you know, if we just go with one specific group and say, okay, it's your responsibility, then we're stuck. It's a community thing. This is something that has to take a whole, an effort that involves everyone. I think the comparisons to the 1918 flu epidemic, I keep transposing those, but with that saying that it had a 1-2 punch, it kind of calmed down, but then people relaxed and it came back again. And that's, I think, what we're seeing now in New Zealand, that this is something that isn't just a short term, you know, quick fix turnaround. It's part of the landscape now, whether we want it to be or not. And that's the other thing too, is what does that show in terms of astrology? How long is this period going to be prevalent in the charts that shows the conflict, the stewing, the wanting to go fast forward and yet being stuck in stewing in your own juices?
Okay, so there are two ways to talk about that. And one is the kind of crisis period that we're in now with this triple conjunction in Capricorn, ending pretty much at the end of this calendar year. But the other thing that's happening is that in the chart of the United States, we're going through a Pluto return. And that only happens every 246 years. So, we've never had this before, and it will be a very, very long time before it happens again. And I introduced Pluto as this planet that it is very much like the phoenix rising from its ashes, the destruction and then the regeneration. And so the Pluto return in the chart of the United States doesn't really end until 2024.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know it's such a slow-moving planet. And so are we in a period of upheaval? Yes. Will we be on the other side of that upheaval anytime soon? And I'm talking not just about pandemic. I'm talking about government. I'm talking about the mainstream institutions, the way that we have created democracy. It's like, you know, the very foundations of our identity are going through this big regeneration, if we look positively, mm-hmm. and, you know, this big chaotic disruption, if we look negatively, and they're intertwined and they're happening at the same time. But Pluto will bring all of the problems to the surface so that they're visible and they get addressed. And so this was something that I was going to talk about in the election charts, because we have a really unique kind of period of time coming up in the beginning of next year.
My guest, Moon Rabbit, and if you're interested in a reading, astrologybymoonrabbit.com. That's the website. Now, this is, I've talked with Linda before, or Moon, and she's been practicing astrology, I'm going to, on our website now, since 1975, and then formal training since 1979. And so full-time astrologer, if you're interested in a reading, there's also some other aspects that she covers in terms of if you've had a loss, the grieving is dealt with through something called a death chart. And I think that is also fascinating. We'll cover that a little bit more later. But so right now, she sent an email out that talked about these odd things that are happening right now that are unusual. One is, I believe you said 248 years that this hasn't, this puts us in situations where we are completely unprepared, because we don't have the linear, the memory of, you know, people being alive who've been through this, who can compare notes. We might be reading their diary somewhere, but in terms of the actual person, you can say, hey, grandma, grandpa, what was this like? That's not there. So it makes this really difficult for us to get a grip on it, because it's all new. And not only that, our world situation has changed. And so that's why I really think this is important to say, how do we deal with this, and what does the chart say for the bigger picture? And that's what you were dealing with that odd little duck that came through, that the Eris, E-R-I-S, the that influence. But go ahead, we'll pick up what's happening now through January 2021.
All right, so I wanted to start by talking about Election Day, okay?
Okay.
So in the year 2000, on Election Day, the planet Mercury was retrograde, and there was a conjunction between two planets, Jupiter and Saturn, also in the year 2000. So on this November 3rd in 2020, Mercury is stationary direct, right? And there's a Jupiter-Saturn conjunction. So it kind of goes without saying, if you're an astrologer, that, and I think you probably don't have to be an astrologer just because of all the kind of the brouhaha that we're seeing about fraud in the election and, you know, all this kind of what I think of as misinformation.
Yeah.
But Are we going to get a result on November 3rd for the election? No. And so Mercury will turn, it will stop being stationary. So when Mercury goes into this apparent retrograde motion, right before it goes backwards, it stands still. And then right before it moves direct, it also stands still. These are very complex periods of time, because it's kind of like communication comes to a standstill. So do we know anything on Election Day? No. And then noon on November 4th, there's some movement again. So will we get something, you know, whether it's going to the Supreme Court? I don't know. But there's a secondary thing that many people don't follow with Mercury retrograde. So there's a beginning point and there's an end point. But astrologers use something called the shadow period. And we look at the degree of the zodiac sign it's in when it goes backwards, and we're not really in the clear until it surpasses that point again. And that happens on the 19th of November. And so I have been, I would say, very, very concerned because this is going to be such a complicated election. And somewhere between the 14th of November and the 19th, Mars goes direct on the 14th, Mercury goes direct on the 19th. So it could take almost 2 weeks for us to find out the results. And that makes me think that, you know, this will be a very, very, very complicated election.
Well, and it just seems like there's so much, and again, the word I get is diversion. You know, everything that comes up, it's a headline, and it isn't necessarily the truth, but it gets your attention and shifts your attention somewhere else, so it's diversion. And that, I think, is happening and has been happening for for a couple, it's more than a few months, but maybe some years, but definitely in the past several months, that diversion has been an influence. And for what I see, and as I even had this happen today, that kind of illustrates what you were describing, as that it hits a holding pattern before it goes forward, it hits a holding pattern, then goes forward, and then it goes backward and hits a holding pattern before it again goes forward again. And I thought, well, I was uploading my stuff, normal, nothing changed. All of a sudden, everything hit a wall, and it just sat there kind of in that the zone of spinning and trying to upload and not doing anything. And then going forward on its own pace. But the minute I hit that wall, where everything started just stewing and, you know, just continuing to try and upload and nothing happening, I thought, what the heck? You know, where is the source of that? But it wasn't about the source. It was about the energy and seeing how the momentum shifted. And there's nothing you can do except wait. You really, you know, trying to pressure it, trying to push it, trying to, you know, create something when it's in limbo in that state of the holding pattern. The other thing is also not panic.
Yeah.
Don't panic. Don't try something else. It has to clear. And for me, what that sometimes means is the cache is full. It means there are too many things trying to influence, trying to input, upload, and there is nothing that will shift that except allowing it to clear. And
Very, very good metaphor for November, you know, in this period around the election, because I think that, you know, we're going to have these experiences.
Yeah.
Our process.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with being strong in your own awareness that some of these things have to play out. And there is, you know, that moment where you are caught in a loop, or in a time warp where the things around you are going to seem chaotic. You can either add your energy to it and get all excited and, you know, and fly off the handle, or you can say, all right, this is part of our new normal of allowing some things to just dissolve before adding your energy to it. And when you do add your energy, it should be proactive of, okay, I've done what I can do. And now I can, take care of my own issues so that I don't add more chaos to the equation. That's just my own personal, you know, 2 cents. That's obviously that I do the show, so there comes the 2 cents.
It seems a very common sense kind of approach to things.
Oh, well, but, you know, that's hard to when you're sitting and you're watching everything just go crazy and thinking, what the heck? How do we come through this? And you're saying 2024. So maybe that's putting this little note out here is, okay, don't expect a quick fix. Some things have to actually play out before we can see this result.
And when I say 2024, it's not a continuation of everything until then. Mm-hmm. And so I do believe with this Jupiter-Saturn conjunction going into Aquarius that there will be a vaccine very, very early next year, and it will take a while for that to get implemented. But I do think that, you know, there will be a recovery from the pandemic. And, of course, you know, fits and starts, but 2021 is not astrologically nearly as difficult for us. I mean, yes, for us as a country, but not kind of universally for the world as 2020.
Okay, so this was a real big, everything hit the fan all at once for the world.
Indeed. Yes, you don't need to be an astrologer to know that.
No. Just watch the headlines and go, holy cow. Holy cow.
Yeah.
What was interesting in terms of response, I was driving, trying to make a deadline and staying in the speed limit, but there was the person in front of me didn't know that I was in their lane. And as I'm driving by, this car is coming into my lane right beside me. So it took me a while to find the horn. I'm not used to honking. I'm like, holy cow, what do I? And so finally, it's really loud. And then I back off. But what I could see in terms of perspective, having that as you're traveling, you know, 65, 85, whatever. I think at that point, the speed limit was 75. So I was probably a little bit, I try not to go to about five above. So as I'm watching and knowing this person saw a car over on the side of the road further down, they had a passenger, so they're talking to the passenger or engaged, and then automatically go into, I'm going to go, you know, give that car space and get out of the of that lane, but they were going right into me. And instead of having a knee-jerk response of, you know, taking it personal, I was able to see further down the road what they were trying to do was make a way, you know, give that leeway, that shoulder, some space, and without seeing me, because at that time that they made that decision, I was probably in their blind spot. So I backed off and gave them time, if they wanted to give that car more space, room to move over. In the meantime, I know they're going, what the heck? Because I tried to honk as long as I could to say, hey, wake up. And then when I go around, I was giving them the open hand of, hey, and, you know, and mouthing, it's okay, you know, because I, you know, it wasn't intentional. I know that. And it was so funny because a person across from me was giving me the two thumbs up going, you know, it's okay, sorry, you know. So in terms of having a response right now, some of this, the way I do is this is a mirror. This is a reflection of things around us. It was so nice to see that as my thought was, I need to give him space, give him time to recuperate from me, you know, blaring the horn and frightening them to death, realizing there was a car right beside them. And in doing that, it was a buffer to say, it's okay, you're all right. You know, you stayed in your lane and we're good to go. But I think part of that is a bigger picture for what, in at least in my perspective, my part of the world is there are going to people who are going to get in our lane. And it isn't personal. It's because either something they were trying to do to give somebody else some space to do something, a nice thing, all of a sudden their attention was diverted and they weren't able to have that larger view. And so for me to allow that person the space to recover and regroup and go forward, my response is empathy. It's like in not taking it personal and saying, okay, how can we go forward without causing a bigger problem here? Which was totally, totally unplanned and totally inadvertent. And I think on a bigger scale, if we in the world can look at some of this stuff, we didn't ask for it. We're caught in the middle of these larger, greater aspects of change all across the board in a good way. But it is going to cause some inconvenience and some hard feelings for some people as we go through this, and definitely some chaos. But that I try to take it in that little thing of how does this relate to the bigger picture? Because I think that's where we get clues from our universe, from our world, from our guides, from our guardians saying, this is what's happening right now. How are you going to handle it? Does that make sense?
It does. And if everybody could respond with empathy as much as possible, we would be living in a much better world, no doubt.
Sometimes it trips your trigger. And maybe I wouldn't have responded that, it, you know, on a different day. But today, I was able to say, wait a second, step back. And what's really happening here? And it might have been because I followed a trucker the other night who was definitely going to sleep. And I thought, you know, I can either blow past this guy and let him run off the road, or I can just follow him. And in case there is an issue. So it was, you know, about 40 or so miles, 50, maybe probably. It was definitely about 20 or 30 minutes, and it added time to my trip. But I could see he or she was really struggling. They hit the center lane, then way off over to the shoulder. And all it would take was one little loose gravel for this guy to go off the road. And instead, I chose to give him something to focus on because it was just the two of us on the road. And I kept my headlights stayed kind of in the center of the road so he could definitely see me far enough behind that so that there was somebody behind. And then when he got to a town, he was better at staying in the lane. I figured he was going to pull off. But so these kinds of things that we do may seem little, and I have no idea. I'm not going to follow up, but I know that I could have blown by. But at the same time, there was no safety net for that person who was obviously struggling. And I believe it wasn't a text thing. It was trying to stay awake because of the way the driving was going on there. And I think right now there's so many things going on in our lives that we're given an opportunity to say, maybe it isn't time for me to blow through this. It's time for me to step back and see how things are going and maybe assist, if I can, in some way, somebody else to allow them to make a proactive and positive response to the difficulties that we are all facing right now. How do you look at that?
Being an astrologer, my work with people is pretty much just service. So if you know, understanding the planetary cycles that are going on in any person's life can give them a different perspective or a bit of advice about a next step. That's really what I focus on, is how can we kind of, you know, create a different kind of consciousness or understanding that will give us more options or a broader perspective on what's going on, so that the things that are disruptive or difficult or chaotic can be seen with a kind of maybe more equanimity or, you know, kind of a change of mindset.
Well, and I think that with the astrology, you can look at a chart and see where somebody already is challenged, where they may be a hotter temperament. And so the natural response is to go, you know, and blow through it, where right now is not necessarily the best time to do that. So you have the benefit, I think, of, you know, determining in someone's chart where those hot spots are that may be more challenging to have that response because of the temperament, because of where the planets are. And I think so that's, I guess that's what I was asking in terms of, you know, being able to help people through this. You have the advantage of giving them some, I guess, you know, a game plan.
Yes. Yes. And a little bit of foresight about when things will shift, because I think everybody is looking for, based on what people ask me, like, when will this end?
You know? Yes. Uh-huh. Light at the end of the tunnel. Where is it?
And everything always has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so sometimes, you know, you just have to hang on for another week, for another month, you know, for another period of time. And I think that we feel stronger when somebody says to us, well, there's an end in sight, you know. Mm-hmm. So, just that in and of itself is useful.
But when you described that earlier, you were saying, okay, it goes forward, but before it goes forward, it goes into this little circle. It kind of waits, you know, there's a pause, a holding pattern, and then it goes back and there's a holding pattern before it goes forward again. And that sounds like November.
Oh, yes. And we have two planets in the middle of that month, the third week, that are doing that. And so not on election day, but I have a feeling it would take a while for the results to become clear.
Okay. And so for the rest of the story, we're just going to have to get through November.
Well, and December, and then things do lighten up distinctly around really the holiday time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Just in time for Christmas. All right. Moon Rabbit, she does astrology. Astrology by Moon Rabbit, you can get caught up. But I wanted to go into something that's very unique that she does, and it has to do with her own life, her own background, and how this kind of played out in a different way. And you might have heard another interview, Death Charts is what I'm focusing on. So if you can just give us a background for how this works and what you do and how it helps with grieving.
I'm an identical twin, and I will always identify as being a twin, even though now, unfortunately, because of my twin developing cancer in 2005, I'm a twinless twin. And twins have a very, very unique bond because of the time together spent in the womb and then kind of hitting every developmental phase in sync with each other. And I never imagined that I would outlive my twin. I kind of always just assumed, because we were born together, that we would die together. And so it was very, very shocking for me when she developed cancer. And it was also, unfortunately, very clear to me that she wouldn't live very long, just because I had foreseen a major separation coming up in my chart. But you know, you can't really predict exact details.
Right.
So I lost my twin in 2005, and I was fortunate enough to be at her bedside. And being an astrologer for 30-some years, when she took her last breath amidst all of my pain, I looked at my watch because I knew I would do a chart for that moment, because that's what we do as astrologers, is we do charts.
Mm-hmm.
So through my grieving process, I kept this chart around, and I kept looking at it, looking for understanding, looking for meaning, looking to make sense of this kind of really immense kind of immeasurable loss in my life. And over a period of about 12 years, it took a really long time, more and more pieces fit together so that I had a different kind of context about not just the fact that she died, but there was like an incentive in my chart about my personal change that needed to happen that was directed by her loss. So in 2015, I started kind of doing death charts for people in my immediate circle and people who, you know, been coming to see me for many years to check out if there was any value in this for them. Mm-hmm. And so for the last 5 years, I've been offering clients death charts as a way to kind of help them forward on their grieving process. And the thing that's been kind of uniquely amazing to me is that there are these, so I don't want to get super technical, but in astrology, there are solar eclipses that happen usually twice a year. Sometimes there's a renegade one and there's three times a year. And anybody who's ever witnessed a solar eclipse will understand that you know, the sun gets blotted out by the shadow of the moon. And if even if you're a well-educated person, there's this kind of primitive feeling that you get that the world is about to end. And so even if you're not sitting under an eclipse, you have these happening and they're aspecting your birth chart. And every single one of them will lead to a life-altering event when it lines up in a certain way. So that was kind of a marker for the loss of my twin, and it's been a marker on all these charts that I've been doing for people who are suffering from loss. And it's my belief that these eclipses are a part of our soul's growth because they happen with such regularity that astrologers have been able to predict them really since kind of the beginning of astrology. So,
question. Okay, so solar eclipse. What about a lunar eclipse?
So lunar eclipse is always, so whenever there's a solar eclipse, there's almost always a lunar eclipse. They act in pairs. But the sun in astrology is the consciousness, and it's more of our external life, where the moon is our interior or more of our emotional life. So lunar eclipses are important, but they don't have these life-altering, long-term redirecting effects that a solar eclipse can have on somebody's life.
Okay. I just wanted a clarification on that. All right. So with that, though, it says that if it's, when you know that a solar eclipse is coming up, how do you predict how that will impact the person?
So it's very, very specific to each individual's chart. Mm-hmm. Oh, so I'll go off on a little political thing for a moment again, because the next solar eclipse that we have is on December 14th of 2020, and it's happening at 23 degrees of Sagittarius. Okay, so if you have planets in your birth chart, you just use about a 2 or 3 degree orb on this. So if you have them within a couple degrees of 23 Sagittarius, then depending on which planet it is and where it's located in your birth chart, astrologers can then make kind of, you know, assumptions or projections about what's going to be happening. And we have a public figure, Donald Trump, who has a moon at 21 Sagittarius and a sun at 22 Gemini, which are both in alignment with that eclipse. And eclipses are famous for projecting what's been hidden out into the open. And so I have a feeling as this year wraps up, we're going to be getting all kinds of interesting information that has been previously hidden from us, you know, about the leader of this country.
Wow. And, so revelation.
I did a little looking around for the time that he was elected, you know, back in 2016. Mm-hmm. And there were all kinds of favorable energies around this point in his chart. November 3rd of 2016. Mm-hmm. And when I look at what's happening November 3rd of 2020, there's a much different kind of energy. And let me say something about solar eclipses is that we have a date on which they happen, but they aren't limited to that period of time. They come into play 6 to 8 weeks actually before the date, and they can last up to 6 months after the date. And so they tend to have a much more long-term effect than just, you know, they're, of course, they happen in a specific period of time, but we could be seeing effects of this eclipse already in November. I think we will.
Wow. Okay. So that's revelation and exposure, disclosure, those kinds of things, those words.
Yes. Yes. And I'll give you a different example, and I guess we keep going back to around the year 2000, but in July of 2000, George Bush had an eclipse. Oh, it was 2001. It was 2001. He had an eclipse on his sun. And the sun is your identity. It's your kind of conscious projection of who you are on the planet. And so he had won the election, and he'd taken office in January of 2001. And whatever image he had of his presidency, I knew because of the eclipse on his sun that there was going to be some kind of underbelly that would come up. And then we all know that on September 11th of 2001, we had the World Trade Tower. We had the event. And so his presidency turned out to be about something very, very different than he thought, I'm sure, than anybody could have thought.
Absolutely.
When he Yeah. So if we take that example and we put it into play for the current situation at the end of this year and the beginning of next year, I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
Right. Right.
But is it different than what's anticipated? Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
And this isn't just a birthday eclipse. It's an eclipse that is bringing together the sun and the moon, the two kind of luminaries that participate in the both interior and external identity.
Okay, so since we don't have the benefit of knowing some of the other major world superpowers, we can't do any kind of prognosticating about who might also
right,
be involved.
People who do astrological research, you can dig this stuff up, and you could study other superpowers and major powers, but I'm just looking at the people close to home.
Yes, yes. That's probably a better way to go for the moment, because that gets into a whole different ball of can of worms. But so for those who are planning on voting, the postal service and the disruption, that's all part of this diversion, which makes it more complicated, because basically it's like starting a bunch of little fires. And so then the big fire is continuing to burn. It just hasn't shown itself yet. And to me, that's what I see happening, is all these little fires being set. And yet there's a coal and a very large, large fire that's going to basically envelop us at some point, and we're going to figure out what that is and how we need to address it. And that's what I see, or how I the analogy I make with that 9/11, that there was an eclipse, but you didn't know what that was going to mean except an extreme disruption. So here's this eclipse, and this eclipse is indicating an extreme disruption that will involve President Trump. Wow.
Yes.
Okay. And then that planetary alignment, or the 248 year visitor here, is that were you saying Pluto or
right? So yeah, the stage is already set, I would say, pretty well.
Okay, that's
so. Might I add one other political thing here?
Yeah.
Okay, so I did the chart for Kamala Harris, and she has a 22 degree Sagittarius descendant. And the descendant is the part of the chart that symbolizes the important people in your life, your primary important people. And so I've been struggling for a long time looking at the chart of Joe Biden, trying to figure out what's going on with him. And I found a few things, but they aren't as clear as what's happening on the chart of Kamala Harris.
Okay.
the same eclipse that, really has to do with things that have been hidden coming onto the open is showing up really, really big for her in reference to important people in her life, which I suppose could be anybody. But at this point in time, I'm thinking it is Joe Biden. So, these next few months, and I was looking for the October surprise, and everything is lined up for that event, very stupendously as far as this planet Mars, I'm just going to say that no doubt there will be some different kinds of things that come up into the political arena in a couple months in October.
Okay.
But as we get closer and closer to election day and post-election, there's just a whole bunch of unforeseen kinds of things that will take the political stage.
Well, I think that's fascinating. And also in terms of the political surprise, there was a little asteroid that just did a flyby and winged us. And the thing about that was, and I'm going to get to the name of it, because they said it's about the size of a Tesla, and it's the closest flyby of Earth on record. This was in Forbes recently. They're saying that they called it 2020 QG, the identifier ZTFODXQ. And spotted hours after. Okay, not before, but we're like, whoop, there it went. Whoa, that was close. Okay, so this is going to be that October surprise. Whoa, there it went. After the fact. What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't hear about that little asteroid the size of a Tesla. I'm sure that there are probably any number of those that are kind of periodically showing up. But
let me get the date. Okay, the date, because this is you want to check it out. But Forbes.com is where I saw that. I like to follow them occasionally, and they said it passed. And this was a Twitter person who I believe is another astrophysicist. I'm looking for Tony Dunn. He's has a Bachelor of Physics. He's an amateur astronomer. Okay, so he was talking about that passed, and they've got the little thing on Twitter saying that this is a simulation and it making it the closest known flyby that didn't hit our planet, and about less than a fourth of Earth diameter passed. So that's really... That's like winging. It's winging. And it's now called 2020 QG.
So
that's what that was supposedly happened on. I think when he put this out there, it was the 16th, because he posted it on the 17th. So he said yesterday, and I didn't go to NASA to check it out, but that's what I saw. And so if you're listening now, you have an idea of when this winged us. But to me, the bigger picture is, okay, this is out of the blue. We didn't see it. It comes this close to our planet and we're unable to, focus on it, but it's on the way. So whatever the October surprise is, it's already the trajectory. Like you said, this is already the planets. This is already on the radar. We just don't know what it is. It's due to hit. And I guess that's the best way you can say is an October surprise.
Okay. And the timing, if anybody's interested in my best guess, would be around the 10th or so of October, because that's when the Mars and Eris and Pluto are all in this square with each other, which is a tension producing and action kind of producing aspect.
Okay. About the time you're picking out your Halloween costume. it will be showing up. All right. And then the response would be, whatever it is, just vote. Okay. Just vote. And however you can get it done, just vote and take that off of your things to do, but things that are going to be done. And one less thing to worry about.
Bring a mail in, do it early.
Yeah. Well, and even then, I know when I vote, we have the election box, so you can do fill it out and then take it and drop it in the box. That's one way to do it if you're concerned about whether the mail is going to arrive or not. The election box, and it's the thing about this is it's different for everyone, so there's no uniform across our country in the United States. There are different, I think there are some mailboxes and others, it's the election box. And right now, with all of the attention with the disruption in terms of the Postal Service, it's becoming confusing. And the only thing that we can do as concerned citizens and voters is to take it into our own hands and somehow get your ballot filled out and vote, whether you have to go in person and wear your mask and practice social distancing, or you are able to fill it out early and get it to an election box. It would be nice if there was a uniform way of doing this, but that really hasn't been the case because of the opportunities that people who wanted to vote early ahead and by mail, that had been an option. And now all of a sudden that's like, it's a wild card. It's like, what? So I think that's the 2020 thing. Is, you know, this is one more thing that is not a sure thing and not a done deal. It's that you have to pay more attention. And I think a lot of that is what this is about. It's saying that not everything is a guarantee. The old school way of doing things is no longer here. We have to figure out a new normal and adapt rather than have a temper tantrum and say, no, it's a, okay, fine. All right, do a side dance, a sidestep, do a cartwheel, do something different. It will still work out. Just don't, allow yourself to be caught up in all of the drama and the other chaos that's around it and continue to think for yourself. That's, that's more important now than it has been in our history in terms of voting, that we really do have to pay closer attention to our actions and our thoughts and our beliefs and our values and follow through.
I'm with you all the way.
If you're interested in doing a chart, and whether it's a death chart dealing with grieving, and I think that's brilliant. You know, it did take you a while to come to terms with that and see how it influenced you and impacted, even knowing this was going to be a challenge, that what you've come up with in terms of understanding how solar eclipses play into this, it really is helpful. Then you can, do an ahead of, like, okay, this is coming. And I don't know what it is, but I will be able to at least react and know this was on the way and something I would need to deal with when it played out. And I think that's the most helpful thing that you can do with an astrology chart, is say, all right, this is the game plan. It's coming up and you will be able to deal with it. Just know that this isn't a surprise. It isn't an accident. It's something that is meant for you to overcome. Again, to book a session with Moon Rabbit, it's astrologybymoonrabbit.com. And thank you for listening.